cliffcentral.com.
This is your wake-up call. This is your moment to rise and shine and take on the world. Ah, yas. Ah, yas. I was just saying to Ben and Mubs, I can imagine what Sia Sangweni is doing right now.
Do you think he's awake?
He maybe has opened one eye. He's lying in a hotel bed with all that crisp linen and... He's spreading himself in all directions like a star and stretching and yawning and going, oh, it's good to be in the creative industry. and thinking about how marvelous it is to be at Design Indaba, because that's where he is this morning. If you're wondering where CA is and why he's so quiet, we will check in with him around 7:45 or somewhere around there. But I could imagine him yawning and... You know, starting it and do this if you are lying in, if you're fortunate enough to not be out of bed and already on the road or doing things at, what is it, just after 6 o'clock, then imagine and if you can do stretching from the tips of your fingers all the way down, stretch your arms, then turn to the left and turn to the right, give those, what do we call these things, obliques.
Yeah, you'll
give them a bit of a stretch.
I reckon Sia's like...
Go down to your legs.
I think Sia's rolled over and going, oh, shit, that bath I ran last night, I forgot to have it. Oh, well, I'll run a new one.
Yeah, filling up the bath with Cape Town water, which is such a precious resource that is going under.
I think his hotel room is going to be on that top 100 name and shame list for end of the week.
Sia loves his baths. Earlier this week, he told me how he woke up early at around 4:30, and he said he couldn't go back to sleep, so he treated himself to a half an hour long bath experience.
Uh-huh. And he luxuriates.
Oh, he loves his baths.
That's the only time I've ever used that word properly and accurately in a sentence. Sia Sangweni luxuriates in the bath. That's what he does. Hey, Lucas, come in here. I want to talk to you. So give us a call if you'd like to on Skype. You know what to do. Cliff Central, one word. You tell us what you're up to. And we can start a conversation this morning. Justice Malala will join us. He comes in, obviously, with a burning platform at around about 7. And he sent me his usual SMS last night at... usually he sends it at midnight, but last night he sent it at 9. Oh!
Ooh.
I've got good news. I had, according to my sleep app...
Oh.
No, this is good news. Remember I was bitching and moaning the other day?
Yeah.
So I've extended from 4 hours and 12 minutes or so... to 5 hours, 52 minutes. I'm almost at 6 hours.
That's very good.
I got into bed last night and I thought, you know what? You got to stop your shit, get into a routine that's healthy, and I'm going to sleep at least 5 or 6 hours a night now. Otherwise, I'm just not doing it right. And I'm going to get rid of this little bit of back fat and this little bit of belly fat. Oh, Jesus. I looked at myself in the mirror this morning. Oh. I've never been so turned off in my life.
Oh, that's like a daily thing for me as well. You look and you're like, oh,
God,
really?
I'm like, who on earth would sleep with you? You know what I mean?
You're so gross. Stop it already.
You make me sick. I have to look at you. If I were married to you, I'd divorce you.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
But I'm in your body. What body is this? Why didn't I have the... Why am I not better looking? God damn it! What conspiracy is this that I have to look like I do? Fuck! Life would be so... If I looked like Ryan Reynolds, my life would be wonderful. I just imagine, you know, some people dream. Some people see things as they are and say, why? I see things as they should be and say, why not?
Oh, that's... I've never heard that one before.
Robert F. Kennedy. It's a nice one.
New one that I've heard.
Yeah, but I'm a perverted now and use it for my own purposes.
Of course.
Why can't I be extremely hot Why?
Just getting back to Ryan Reynolds, you do realize for the last, I don't know, forever in his whole life, he's done like 3 hours of gym a day. And he...
What a life!
Exactly.
Imagine being able to sit in the gym for 3 hours a day. Listen, it's like these people who take part in these reality shows for a living. You know, these people who do, they're on TV the whole time. There's no stress in that life.
Exactly.
Ryan Reynolds has got so much money piling up in his bank account. He doesn't really work. He does a movie every now and then.
And everyone treats you like a rock star. That's why you don't get wrinkles.
You know what he does? He says to me, oh, I'm so busy today. I've got to go to gym. And then tonight I've got to be on one of these talk shows. Yeah. That's his work. I have to do that in between all the stuff I do for work.
Ryan Reynolds has also been married to Scarlett Johansson, and he's now married to Blake Lively.
God damn
now,
it!
Now, most guys will never score a 10. He's had two tens.
And that's just the ones he's married.
That's just the ones he's married, not the ones that he's had
all the
side
hot ones
things with.
The side chicks.
Being attractive definitely has its perks.
But exactly. Being attractive keeps you attractive.
Yeah.
That's the whole thing.
Yeah.
Hey, I saw Nina Hasty yesterday at the hairdresser. We went for a haircut at the same time.
Oh, okay.
So I walked in. First thing, she doesn't see me. So I walk up behind her. I go, so is it different with black hair? So she looks at me. She's like, what the fuck? So I said, how's it, Nina? She goes, oh, yeah, I'm good. And so we started joking. I said, she goes, oh, like Serbian hair is different. So I'm like, oh, please. Serbian hair is the same as my hair. Don't start your shit. She's like, no, really. I'm like, in any case, you shouldn't be too proud to be Serbian. I said to her, because you guys are really like in Europe. You were like the top of ethnic cleansing with Slobodan Milosevic. So she's laughing. She thinks this is hilarious. And I suddenly realized, I can only really talk like that with Nina. There are not a lot of people you joke about ethnic cleansing with. It's not a funny topic, you know. But in that moment, No, it was funny though for us. We were laughing and having the time of our lives. I'm like, ha, 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 ha. The International Criminal Court. Ha, 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 Slobodan Milosevic. Like, you Serbians have got a lot to account for. And she was playing along. You realize that there are only a few people in the world you can have those conversations with. And it always sounds bad if you're not with those people. Mm-hmm. Always.
Because then you are misunderstood.
Oh, misunderstood. You are the worst person in the world. So, Lucas, how many rabbits have we sold this week?
I haven't sold any this week.
Oh, the economy is really in free fall.
I haven't sold any, but yeah, I think what I need to do is go buy rabbit food. I think I need to spend maybe $400.
Do you think they're looking a bit thin and maybe that's why people aren't buying them?
No. It's not that. It's on weekends, I must go take some of them, put them in a cage, and take them to a flea market.
Oh, right. Is that how you sell them?
No, there's a...
in a cage. How do you choose which ones? I mean, do you separate them by families? Do you like... Is it like... I mean, did you ever see Watership Down?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. What a sad movie. With that goddamn soundtrack. Do you remember that movie? Does anyone else know what I'm talking
just
about?
Sad.
No.
I mean, even from the name onwards, it's sad.
Remind me about the storyline again.
Well, it's these rabbits that cross the road and get killed by cars. It's just horrible.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's one of those heartwarming Disney classics with like a violin for a soundtrack.
No, it's worse than that.
I'll never let my rabbits cross the road.
It's the worst.
Of course not. You can't make money out of them if they cross the road.
I don't think my parents showed me the movie, but it was on TV or it came up once. It upset me. It was such an upsetting movie to see.
This is why I'm actually okay with the fact that I was never a child, because that kind of stuff you watch is very, very sad. I didn't have to ever sit through Watership Down like apparently Lassie is also very, very sad.
You weren't inside. You were never inside as a child, so you have no idea, right?
Yeah, well, all this sorrow. Why would you want that as a young child?
I'll tell you what. Whenever they would show the same style of cartoon, and I would start crying as a kid because it upset me so much. Do you remember this soundtrack? Oh, my God. Oh, Lucas, if you want to upset yourself... with your rabbits. Just go watch this this movie, this Watership Down.
So, I mean, so do you see these rabbits basically...
Do you see them being mowed down by cars?
Mowed down.
It's a cartoon.
Wow, okay.
I mean, they're just rabbits, but it was so...
Arabato.
Exactly. Oh, the saddest thing in the world. I thought about this last night. The river of death downstream. I mean, do me a favor. Show this to children. There's a fog along the horizon. Little twitching noses. You know, yesterday we had these guys in about past life regression and all the rest. Imagine if you were a rabbit in your previous life and you got mowed down by a car.
Well, that, you come back as the grumpiest person ever.
That's what I think happened to me. Are you kidding? Yeah, this is the song. Yeah. This goddamn rabbit. Words. How can the light that burns so brightly suddenly burn so pale, bright eyes? Oh, please tell me I'm not the only one who remembers.
This is the saddest thing in the world, just hearing this. I haven't even seen the movie and I'm sad.
So what do you think will happen if I play this music to my rabbits?
God, they'll start crying.
You'll all
tears
cry.
Tears will come out of your rabbit's eyes. I bet you they've heard about Watership Down.
Yeah, in the rabbit community, it's
like Titanic.
Yeah, they're still talking about it.
I think all your rabbit's eyes will go from red to like a soft turquoise full of tears.
You'll hear what you heard what Art Garfunkel said. How can a light that burns so brightly suddenly burn so pale? Mm-hmm. Oh, my God.
They are attracted to light, so I think definitely.
Yeah, well, like the light, the oncoming car.
Shame.
But they don't know that, like it's oncoming car, yeah. You know.
Oh, my yeah. God. So, Greg says, as you are talking about bodies, I'm in the gym right now working on mine. Good job to me.
Wow, Greg.
Well, yeah. Greg.
Good for
F you.
You lucky son of a bitch, you can do that right now.
My heart rate just went up to 58. I'm just checking on my Apple Watch.
That's very good. You got a good resting heartbeat.
Is that good?
Yeah.
Can Greg advise me how to get rid of this informal settlement?
Yeah, you've got a tire, right?
Yeah.
Okay, wait. Guess who popped in yesterday? I was sitting in the middle of a meeting. And all the offices were taken up, so I was just sitting in the general office at that table, having a meeting with these other three dudes. And guess who walks in?
Trevor Gumby.
No. Law Maisel.
Oh!
Remember who used to do Keeping Up with the Calvaries with Damon and Bernice, and then yes. She had her own show for a while with laughter therapy and all that kind of thing?
Yes.
Remember Law?
Yes.
She's the one who sounds like this. Let me just find a recording of her quickly so that you know who I'm talking about. Lorraine Maisel popped in, and she's looking amazing. I mean, she's lost a fortune of weight, so she looks really good. And she's now going to have her spare tire taken out as well because she's going for an operation. Because she's lost.
It's just spare skin, though, isn't it?
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, didn't she have one of those gastric bypass things?
Tummy staple.
A year ago. Yeah, and she looks great. I mean, really, Law, I said to her, how does it feel to have the best body you've ever had at this age? Because, I mean, you know, she's not a spring chicken anymore, but she's not an old lady. So it's somewhere in middle age she's found her best body. I mean, it's got to feel like an achievement.
Sure, like a new lease of life.
Yeah. Anyway, it was nice to see her. You know, we get so many people from the family, like, who was it? So O'Neill was sitting there, and Kat said, you remember Law to O'Neill? And O'Neill's like, of course. We were like, from first day, which is, I suppose, how we describe, you know, people who were part of the family from day one. And that includes anyone who's been listening from day one, and we've got lots of those. Some more messages. Do you want to hear some of these?
Yeah.
All right. Let me just remind you, Justice Malata coming in with Burning Platform. That's brought to you by Nando's every Thursday. And today we will have a look at all the things that are going on that people want to talk about. Caitlin says it was the only children's movie we had on tape. Every time the adults were having a dinner party or something, us kids were smacked together in a room.
That is ridiculous.
With that movie, and I just remember being totally traumatized, beyond inconsolable. I cried so much I got sick. This is the cruelest form of parenting I've ever experienced, Caitlin. Oh my God, you poor girl.
That's a hate crime, essentially.
It is. Anushka says, wow, Gareth, I filled that bright eye bunny. I filed that bright eye bunny movie in my Pandora's box. I'm shattered right now. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to upset people, but it was just as traumatic for me. So
I think we're going to lose listeners today. Not through them not listening, but just by death. They're going to listen to that song. Oh. Yeah.
Kelly says, Watership Down broke me. It's based on a book. It's pretty good. If you would follow that blog you wrote before the start of the year, you wouldn't be having these sleeping problems, GC. That's someone on WhatsApp this morning. By the way, the WhatsApp number, 0797482090. All right. Lots of stuff to do this morning. Lots of people to talk to. Places to go. I was thinking, I said to Ben this morning, I'm not interested in this year unless I'm going to make money. I'm so sick of thinking about that stuff. So tired of worrying about finances, aren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I really am. I'm like, this is no way to live.
It really isn't, Gareth. There's no way to live at all. Again, this is getting back to the Ryan Reynolds theory. He's not worrying about this. That's why he looks so good. We've uncovered a real insight here.
There's a Ryan Reynolds
We've got
theory.
To stop living like normal people. We've got to start living like superstars. That's how you stay young.
I've got to figure out how. I have to. And the other thing is that I've come up with a plan. You know, it's a big 4-0 for me this year.
Ooh.
And everybody's telling me I should have a party, and the last thing I want
to
do is draw attention.
To that.
Exactly. The last thing I want to do is draw attention to the fact that I'm getting old. So, and you know, I have a bit of a wobble every time I reach my birthday. I've come to terms with that. I hit a brick wall at my birthday, and then my mood goes from 9 out of 10 to 7, and then to 6, and then to 5. I just hate my birthday. So, and it's in August, which is the worst month of the year. So
of course.
What I'm going to do, I'm serious about this. I'm going to figure it out now. I'm going to work out what it costs to go to North Korea. And because in North Korea, no one can reach you by phone. Mm-hmm. There's no internet. There's no cell phone signal. Mm. And I can go there for a week. I mean, they're going to give me a guided tour around all the shit that they usually show people. I might learn something, I might not. But it would be nice to have a North Korean stamp in my passport.
Okay.
I could say I've been there. And who knows what I might learn. Plus, I don't have to deal with people reminding me it's my birthday. Because you won't be able to reach me. There's no Facebook. There's no WhatsApp. There's no phone calls. There's nothing.
That'd be great.
We're like, hey, happy birthday. And I'll get all those messages when I'm back and I've recovered and I'm not traumatized anymore by my birthday. I'm done. I've figured this out. What do you think? Good plan?
I think it's a great plan, but I'd be quite curious to know what a North Korean passport stamp is. Do you think it's just like a tick because maybe all the own pens or the guys who work immigration?
Maybe. Maybe they just...
It would just be like a tick and a date.
Maybe they draw a big red cross on your photograph. Who knows? Once you're in, you can't come back or you get out, you know? Watership Down is the most horrible movie I've ever seen, says Timin. Sure.
Do you want to hear the top 30 saddest movies of all time?
No. Do I have to?
You don't have to do anything, Gareth. But Watership Down is there.
Oh, my God. Hey, were we meant to talk to Crazy Rob? I think we were meant to talk to him. Is he on the line? You can't get him. Okay. Let's see if you can get him.
Crazy Rob?
Yeah, I see he's on the schedule. I see he called in yesterday and he wanted to talk about something. You remember Crazy Rob from Murder? He's from the Natal Midlands. He's in Howick.
Oh, the guy Rob. He just hangs out and scores chicks.
Well, he lives with his parents. They have to look after him.
It's not what he said last year. You asked him, what you doing the rest of the day? Oh, you know, just going to go score some chicks.
Yeah. No, he's a cool guy. We like him. He's part of our family. We got a wacky family. That's what we've got here. Anyway. All right, give us these movies, goddammit. Now I'm curious.
Well, do you want 30?
No, I just want 10. Give me the top 10. Mm. I don't know if I can handle 30. I'll start crying.
Okay, well, according to Glamour magazine, because they know how people cry. Good Will Hunting.
Yeah, I've never
Me Before You.
Yeah.
About Time.
I don't know any of these except Good Will Hunting.
Oh, these are quite recent. The Light Between Oceans. I mean, the titles give it away.
Yes.
My Girl in 1991 with Macaulay Culkin. He dies because a bee stings him.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
That doesn't sound sad to me. That sounds funny.
You're sick. You're sicker.
Marley and Me.
I don't know that one.
Well, basically, it was an Owen Wilson movie for a start. Jennifer Aniston, post-Brad Pitt dumping her, and a dog that dies.
Oh.
I mean, could you think the three worst factors you can throw into a movie? Okay, I'm gonna push through this. There's too many here. The Notebook.
Yes, that was
sad as all hell, huh?
Yeah. Oh.
Because it's exactly what's going to happen to all of us, right? Any of us who do fall in love, we're going to just get old, horrible, disgusting to look at, and memories are just going to fall out.
And then one of you is going to drop dead.
Yeah. P.S. I Love You with Hilary Swank and Gerard Butler.
I haven't seen that.
7 Pounds with Will Smith and Rosario Dawson.
How come I've seen one of these movies? I've seen The Notebook.
You generally stay away from sadness.
Yeah, I do.
Sealed Magnolias from the 80s with Julia Roberts. It's also very sad.
What happens there? Is that the one where she's a hooker?
Dies. No. Oh. She dies as well here.
Oh, my God.
The Pursuit of Happiness with Will Smith and his son.
See, now that is a... That's a misleading title. They shouldn't be allowed to do that.
Yeah.
But
draws you in and it's actually sad.
No, but the ending of this movie is, you know, it's that typical storyline of overcoming your odds.
Yeah, but...
So it's not sad, it's...
But, Mubs, there's 2 hours of your life...
There's a happy ending.
I know, but to get to that happy ending takes resolve.
Wait, what's that one with... that one with Robin Williams with his wife who dies and it all turns into an oil painting?
Oh, When Dreams Come or something.
That's the... Oh.
When Dreams Do Come.
That's something like that. God, what a horrible movie. And I mean, then, I watched it, but...
And then 1978, What a Ship Down.
See?
I look at the picture and I'm sad.
You see what I mean? It's right up there.
Titanic.
Yeah.
Bambi.
Yeah.
Also Bambi. Movie starts Bambi's mother dead.
Why do they do this to children? What for? You're the furthest away from death you're ever going to be. Why must they tell you about it?
Yeah. 1988 was a movie called Beaches with Bette Midler.
Yes, I remember that. That's The Wind Beneath My Wings. There's a friend die of cancer and she's there the whole way.
Exactly.
Oy vey.
Brokeback Mountain. Also hugely sad.
You know, I've still never seen that movie. I remember when it came out and everyone was talking about it because it was the first ever like gay romance on
flat out on gay movie, romance. Right? Yeah.
Yeah, but I never saw the movie and I still don't know what the story. I know they go camping.
They go camping.
That's all I know.
And
I have to see.
I also
have to watch
haven't
that
seen
event.
It, but I'm imagining one of them dies or one of their like beard wives commit suicide or something.
Or maybe there's like a hate crime. I don't know. I honestly don't know what goes on.
E.T., also hugely sad.
That
Forrest Gump, very sad.
Yes, but Forrest Gump was, I didn't really feel sad.
Yeah.
Forrest Gump, you know, he, I don't know. To me, it was almost sort of a bit funny as well.
Yeah. Ghost with Patrick Swayze, Demi Moore.
Yes.
Very sad because Patrick Swayze dies early and
yes,
he's and the love of her life.
And he comes back as a ghost and she's at the pottery wheel and oy vey.
And they have like a,
yeah.
a sexual moment.
Yeah, but he's a ghost, so she's essentially masturbating.
Pretty much, yeah. And then the movie It's a Wonderful Life in 1946, one of the saddest ever despite the title.
What a misleading thing to do to people.
Requiem for a Dream. If you want to cry and hate yourself and humans, that's also another good one.
What is that one? Mozart?
Jared Leto and a whole bunch of other people. It's like just drugs mess you up so much. Yeah, it's
hey, Rob.
It's hectic.
Gareth, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you, dude?
Very good, thank you.
What's news in your life? What's going on in Howick? You scoring chicks?
I'm giving it a bit of a break because I was getting a bit bored of that.
Penis is worn down, huh? You're just too exhausted.
Yeah. I have to try and control all my mojo.
Dude, you must be doing very well if you've decided to take a break.
Well, I don't want to overdo it because apparently some say that's quite dangerous.
It'll desensitize you.
I'm not a very sensitive type, I'm just want to do it for my health because you don't know with all these old pensioner ladies that they've got experience. But
all right, Rob, I got to get to news, but you sent me an email yesterday.
Yes, about the coal transportation forum blocking up Pretoria.
Yes, there was apparently, Mubs, I don't know if this was in your news or not, but yesterday I saw this funny thing on the way into work, and I forgot to mention it on the show, but a whole lot of coal trucks were blocking the highways in and out of Pretoria, and I saw them on the way in while I was going out, and apparently they caused chaos. I mean, what do you know about this, Rob?
Well, nothing good. I've just heard about that on the news this morning as well as watching. But I think it's very inconsiderate.
Yeah? Well, it's very inconsiderate because why should the coal industry hold the rest of us to ransom, right?
Yes, and it's not just ransom because coal burning is very bad for people's health if they live nearby. Why have they got a right to stop you from renewable independent energy? Because, I mean, it's not like we haven't had a power crisis in South Africa recently.
So what do you think? Do you think this is something nefarious? Do you think it has to do with the politicians?
Yeah, with the Guptas, because after the Guptas got given 600 million rand to buy a coal mine, they want to be able to get their coal to the furnaces to burn. So I don't know if the Guptas were in the truck convoy.
Well, I'm how do you know so much about the Guptas, Rob? I mean, what's your inside track here? Are you just reading the news, or do you have some other contact that we need to know about?
Yeah, I just think that the Gupta no good.
All right. Thank you, Rob. We got to get to news. Nice to talk to you, brother. Okay. Bye-bye.
Have a good day.
What is your plan for the day, just so that we know?
Sorry?
What's your plan for today? What are you going to be doing, since you're not scoring chicks?
Probably some more chicks, yeah.
Oh, really? Some hiatus you're taking if you're going straight back into the action today. It was hardly a break.
Only if they want a hiatus, but I'm not too sure about how to do that properly.
How many women are we talking about in Howick? I mean, it's a very limited resource pool.
Yeah, there's at least two.
Okay, and how old are these ladies?
They're in their 50s.
50s, huh? Hmm.
Mm-hmm.
MILFs.
MILFs
or GILFs? What are we talking about?
Mostly MILFs.
Well, ladies in their 50s need some loving too, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. I don't want to discriminate against them just because they're 20 years, they're 11 years older than me.
What can I say? You're a philanthropist.
And a gentleman.
That's right. All right. Go out there and make some loving happen.
If you hear any squeals coming from the direction, you'll know it's a good day.
All right, dude. Bye-bye. Oh, there we go. It's Rob, busy spreading the love. Rob on the job. The Colcacchio Pizzeria Celebrity Chef Series pizzas are back. Try a delicious new summer pizza creation for just 105 Rand at Colcacchio Pizzerias nationwide until the end of March. Do you hear that? Their three celebrity chefs, Neil Anthony, Claire Allen, and Zola Nene, will have each crafted their own unique pizza that tells a story with food. 5 Rand from every Celebrity Chef Series pizza sold will be donated to a charitable cause. Go along to Colcacchio Pizzeria, and if their amazing menu doesn't do enough for you, then check out the Celebrity Chef Series pizzas. You will not be sorry. It's time for the news with Mubs. Bagpipe contribution, Mubs.
Very nice.
Lovely.
Okay. Another cartel has been exposed and accused of price-fixing shenanigans. The Competition Commission have referred the cartel case against Unilever South Africa. And Simi Darby Hudson, this is the world's top palm oil planter. So we're talking about an oil cartel, Gareth. Remember years ago we had a bread cartel?
Oh, yeah.
I honestly wouldn't be surprised if somebody came tomorrow and said we've also had a milk cartel this entire time. A lot of cartels, people.
It's horrendous. We're run by criminal syndicates.
Absolutely. Criminals are everywhere in absolutely every facet of our lives. So the Competition Commission have recommended a fine equivalent to 10% of Unilever's local turnover for the price fixing.
Aye.
The The oil planter, this Simi Darby, they already settled with the commission last year. The commission said that they had completed an investigation which began back in 2014, and now it's time for Unilever to face the music. Basically, what they found is that between 2004 and 2013, the two companies had an agreement not to compete with each other on certain pack sizes of margarine and edible oils. Mm-hmm. According to the head of the commission, Tembinko Sibonakele, he said food and agro-processing is an important focus for the Competition Commission.
Is this Competition Commission meant to be so busy? They are. The devil is busy, friends.
I mean, just a few weeks ago, they were dealing with the banks, right?
Let me tell you something. If this Competition Commission were in charge of everything, man, would we get shit done.
We'd be more efficient.
I want these people. I want to know who all of them are, and I want us to all remember their names, because these are, this is one of the most effective departments I've ever heard of in my life.
They really are. And they're really uncovering a lot of dirt.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they say that they are determined to root out exploitation of the consumer. That's you and me. Everybody's always looking to exploit you at every chance that they can find.
I know.
Unilever declined to comment, but yes, the commission says that, you know, they're recommending a fine equivalent to 10% of their local turnover for being found to be guilty of this price-fixing business.
We got you. Caught you red-handed. All right. What else?
The deputy president, Cyril Ramaphosa, says that South Africans are not a xenophobic nation. And he has called on angry citizens not to take the law into their own hands over perceived criminality. He was speaking in the National Assembly when he made this comment. Of course, he was, you know, responding to the recent attacks on foreign nationals that we've seen in Pretoria and Johannesburg over the last couple of weeks. According to the deputy president, he says, "We can all agree that the events of the past 2 days are rather sad. What is clear is that South Africa is not xenophobic. We don't hate foreigners. In fact, we've opened our arms forever and a day to people of other countries.
Hmm.
Where there has been criminal activity, we are saying that police must investigate that. That's not saying that foreigners are criminals and that they get involved in all manner of criminal activity."
Do you believe him?
No.
And the problem is with Cyril. Like, we used to really take him seriously, and Cyril had a lot of political capital, but he sits there most of the time with mouth full of teeth. He looks around. He's supporting the president by saying nothing, so it's like he's got a tacit support there, and he's biding his time. He's just waiting for something to happen. To me, that's not leadership. I'm a little disappointed in him. I think he should go back into running McDonald's. Flipping burgers.
Oh, he didn't actually flip.
No, I know, but it's a funny picture. And, you know, in my head, I see him standing there going, that's what I see.
And then three people who were seriously injured after a light aircraft that they were traveling in crashed in Randfontein in Midrand yesterday had to be saved, Gareth, by people who stay in the complex where the plane went down. Paramedics were alerted to the crash at the intersections of Willow King Willow Crescent and Java Road. It happened just before 7 p.m. last night.
Can you imagine if you're sitting in your house and a light aircraft comes flying into your garden?
Jeepers.
Can you imagine what would you think?
I remember playing golf once in Germiston, and a plane crashed on like a fairway 2 holes away from us.
Was it Harrison Ford?
It wasn't, actually.
Yeah, Harrison Ford has had like one or two incidents.
That man is
hairy incidents.
He should not be allowed to fly. Full stop. Sorry.
Well, he's so old now. If he gets to land,
enough of Harrison Ford in planes.
Yeah.
If he wants to fly, he should get that Ally McBeal to fly for him.
According to one of the witnesses, the light aircraft crashed just after it took off from a nearby airport, and then the residents of this estate helped rescue the three people who were inside the plane. They were found lying a short distance away after having been pulled from the burning wreckage by residents. I mean, you see, so this is a thing for me. Plane goes down, it's in flames. Are you going in to pull people out? Because me, I don't know if I'm going in, hey?
It depends how many flames there are.
I'm going to stand there, I'm going to think about it. I'm going to consider the danger to my own life. Well, I'm not just charging in to pull people out.
If there's a little flame here or there or an inferno, you got to sort of weigh it up. I mean, are we talking a cougar fire here? Or are we talking?
Come on. I'm not brave enough. I'm going to tell you right now.
I'm not a hero.
I'm not a hero. I'll call the fire brigade and I'll call the police, but I'm not going near your burning wreckage of a plane. You flew into my garden. That's just a sheer chance. It's got nothing to do with me. Destiny and fate be damned. I'm not going to go in and save you. Would I look like a Jedi? No. You're on your own. Crash in someone else's garden.
Don't make your problems, Mike.
Yeah. In fact, I'm gonna sue whatever's left of you for damaging my garden.
Well, look, these three were, you know, seriously injured, but luckily no one lost their life. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. Yeah, those are headlines, Gareth.
All right, let's get to Ben and some sport for this morning because everybody's slavering at the chops to find out what Ben has for us. So come on, Ben, take it away. What do you got?
Well, bloody finally, Pirates and Sundowns are going to get charged for the violence and disturbance.
We thought this would never happen.
Yeah, so basically...
Was it the Competition Commission?
No, the PSL eventually said something, but it's a bit weak because they said, okay, right, so the Pirates are going to get charged, their fans acting like hooligans, invading the pitch, blah, 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 blah. Sundowns are going to get charged for not supplying adequate security and, of course, also the misconduct of their supporters. So March the 9th, both clubs will appear before a disciplinary hearing by the PSL. Now, the thing about this is that why has it taken so long? Well, this weekend we've got the big Soweto derby, right? Pirates versus Chiefs.
Yes.
So, if there were to be any discipline or any sort of punishment that gets handed out, then it might affect this game, which is a massive money spinner for the club.
Okay.
That's not me being a conspiracy theorist. That's just putting two and two together. So, 9th of March, and it's such a long delay. But the whole thing about adequate security, right? Now, I'm sure there's a formula for every certain number of fans, there must be certain amount of security. Mm. Rugby gets this right. Cricket seems to be okay with this.
No, you can't just run onto the field. There used to be a time when strippers would get onto the field. They didn't call them strippers, though.
Streakers.
Yeah. I called them strippers because I somehow thought they were professionals.
No, nowadays it's just fat men still clothed.
They call them pitch invaders.
Yeah, now they're just nuisances. Yeah. Now they're like, get off.
Whatever happened to the days where you'd... You know, see some genitalia. Come on. Yeah. Up your game, you goddamn pitch invaders.
See, that's the thing. If you're going to make the effort to run on the pitch, at least take your clothes off. Even if you are dreadful looking. I mean, running on there with your clothes on, you're just being annoying.
Right.
It's just like, oh, look at me. I'm disrupting live sport.
No.
At least make an ass out of yourself.
Right, exactly.
By showing your ass. So Sundowns, they haven't had much luck recently in trying to get these games together after beating Pirates 6-0 and the pitch invasion sort of came on. Also at Loftus, they try to play Tuesday night, and the lights went off. So then Wednesday morning they came out in front of nobody and tried to play against Chipper, and they drew 0-0 because obviously no one could give a toss. Imagine that, you're playing on a Wednesday morning.
Nobody cares. That's embarrassing.
Yeah, so points drop there. So PSL action for the weekend. We've got Cape Town City, and they'll take on Sundowns at 8 o'clock Friday night. Big Friday night of PSL action if you do enjoy the local football. Platinum Stars then take on Chipper United, also 8 o'clock. And then also 8 o'clock, we've got Vitz versus Celtic. So Friday night, good night to stay in. Saturday, we see Chiefs versus Pirates in the Soweto Snorefest. That will be at 3:30. And will be a draw. Golden Arrows versus Maritzburg United at 6. Suwon United versus Ajax Cape Town at 8:15. Mm-hmm. And Sunday sees Polokwane take on Baroka at 3:30. And Free State Stars take on Highlands Park. Baroka and Free State and Highlands Park. Yo, these guys need a win. They need a win quick. On to rugby. And Six Nations. Those pansies take a break every now and again. Mm-hmm. Super Rugby. It's Thursday. Now, this is very, very confusing, this whole Thursday start. I, for one, am not for it. It just, you know... You should be able to like compact the stuff you need to worry about in life, not spread it around like this.
Yes.
It's a Thursday, 12:30, albeit these Thursday games don't mean anything to us South African people. But still, Thursday, Force versus the Reds at 12:30. Then Friday, we've got Chiefs versus the Blues at 8:35 in the morning. And then Saturday, wow, big, big Saturday rugby. Hurricanes versus Rebels at 6:15. Highlanders versus Crusaders, 8:35. Brumbies versus Sharks at 10:45. Sunbulls versus the Kings at 12:55. Lions versus the Waratahs, 3 past 3. Stormers versus the Jaguars, that'll be at 5:15 at night. And then the Cheetahs will round it off against the Bulls at 7:30. Tomorrow, I'll give you all my sort of predictions on who's going to win and that kind of stuff. And then, of course, this weekend's also the Las Vegas Sevens. The Blitzbok are back in action.
Oh, that's cool. That's fun to watch.
So American time, Friday afternoon. So basically from Saturday morning for the rest of us in sort of the middle of the world. Mm-hmm. We can watch that from Saturday late morning onwards. And that'll be very, very exciting because, you know, it's nice having the Sevens. It really is. Mostly because we've got a good team in the Sevens.
All right.
In FA Cup action last night, Man City booked their place in the next round by beating Huddersfield 5-1. So that means that the FA Cup fixtures are now kind of confirmed. So Man City will take on Middlesbrough on March 11th, and same day Arsenal will take on Lincoln City.
Yep.
Then on the Sunday the 12th will be Spurs versus Millwall, and then Monday, March 13th, Chelsea versus Man United. That is the next round of the FA Cup. I'll get into the English Premier League fixtures tomorrow, but yesterday in the cricket, SA did bat bloody well on a tricky pitch, 279 for 8. But then they got hammered. Absolutely, absolutely hammered. And I will take responsibility for this. I write for a cricket website in India, and I was writing this article about this whole bold new era of SA cricket. They repaid me with that game. Martin Guptill, 180 not out. 180 not out. This is crazy. This guy's been injured for like the last month, right? Sat out the last three games, comes in and scores 180 runs. God, it frustrated me. And it was not out of 154 balls.
As we've learned before, when you bet against Ben, you win.
Yeah, sorry. So he got 11 sixes in that knock, but that wasn't even his best innings. This guy's got an innings of 237 not out against the West Indies, and that was in the World Cup.
So that's like standing in the sun for 3 days.
He's also got 189 not out versus England. So last night's innings, which broke the hearts of the Proteas, and it was just ginormous. It was only his third best innings.
Hmm.
Damn this guy. So Saturday will be the decider, which will also be, for the romantics out there, a rematch of the last World Cup semi-final.
Ooh.
Played at Eden Park. Proteas lost that one because Dale Steyn couldn't bowl the ball where he should. And that one went down, so more heartache, but now a great chance for a good rematch in a high-pressure situation, which will be Saturday. Saturday morning from 3 a.m., you'll see the Proteas take on New Zealand for the big decider. The winner takes all in the series. And then that will then bring us into the test series of three tests. Speaking of test matches, Saturday we'll see India versus Australia in Bangalore. And Australia, of course, hammered India in the first test. So that'll be very interesting to watch. Mm-hmm. Big one for the weekend. Outside of that, before we get into some drugs news, is the World Golf Championships in Mexico, where it used to be Trump Durrell. The winner will take on 1.66 million rand. Sorry, dollars. Real money, this one. It's a really huge thing taking place at Club de Golf Kapulatekapek.
That doesn't sound as good as the Waste Management Open.
Yeah, Club de la Golf Chapultepec in Mexico City.
You're making it up.
So there's huge names here. All, the best in golf basically here, except for Jason Day, because he's always either sick or he's injured or something. So Adam Scott, the defending champion, will play with Henrik Stenson and Jordan Spieth. And then Rory McIlroy, he is back from his injury. He'll be playing with Hideki Matsuyama and Dustin Johnson. And in drugs, Gareth, Team Sky, they seem to have lost their medical records. So people are saying they're dodgy as all hell around Bradley Wiggins. Remember, he won the Tour de France, and then he was like, okay, cool, I'm done now. All very, very fishy. So in a couple of weeks' time, when I think more of the excrement will have hit the fan, I'll bring you more of an update on that.
All right, very good. Let's get to Anthea. It's time for us to find out what's happening with our money. And it's rare that Anthea comes in on any day except a Monday. So we'll find out what's going on there in a second. Let's just give you a different version of your famous introduction music now. We need this. Yeah, you go. There's a different version every day.
See you high for the money. Oh, so high for the money.
Yesterday was some disco version. The day before it was heavy metal. This morning we had like a funk band. All right, so how are you doing, Anthea? What's happening?
Oh, I'm very good. The market was up yesterday.
Yes, thank goodness.
Over 1%. The only problem we had...
Small victories.
Yes, indeed.
We'll take it.
One at a time.
Yeah.
The only problem we had was the JSE share. Remember, I told you they reported the day before, just after market close. The share closed 7% down yesterday. I mean, I think it's just becoming a real... an issue with, one, their revenue stream under pressure. You know, there used to be a monopoly, but not so much anymore now that the new exchanges are coming to market. And even though they're way ahead of the curve compared to the other stock exchanges, I think it's just that they're losing a bit of pricing power, so they can't just put up their fees as much as they want to, and so their revenue will suffer. And also, there was a big surprise in their personnel cost, up 14%. I mean, this is not a new business. You know, they shouldn't be having to pay up for staff. So people are worried about that. I don't think it's a bad company. They still have a very strong balance sheet.
But such a drop in one day.
Exactly.
You know, it's
so that's and so I didn't sell because I didn't want to sell down there. And I think what may happen now is that it's being rebased. And so from here on up, it'll start grinding up higher again. It's still a very strong balance sheet, you know, still dominant in the market.
I'm gonna stick with you on this one, but okay. Because grinding up is better than grinding down, which is what all that I've had from Stellar Capital since I bought in. Another 1.6% down. What the hell's happening there?
It really is.
When are they going to tell us what they're doing?
Soon, I'm sure.
Oh,
I'm sure they'll be.
Didn't we have Charles in here a while ago?
No, but should we get him in here?
Yeah, I think it's time. He needs to own up and tell us what's going on. Bought all those shares.
We'll.
God damn it.
I think that's a good idea. I'll send him a mail
today.
Get
him in here.
Okay. And then, Gareth, I brought Nick Dennis with me today.
Yes, let's talk to Nick. Hey, Nick, how are you?
How's it, Gareth? Yeah.
Good, man.
Very good, thank you.
Did Anthea give you a wake-up call at like 5 in the morning?
Yeah.
I think we all work till like early hours and late nights, so I don't think I...
All right, so about 3 hours of sleep for each of you, but that's entirely besides the point. So it's nice to have you here.
Okay, so the reason I brought Nick is because of hashtag retire. And one of the things we need to know about our retirement annuity that we're starting is that it's highly regulated. So the first thing I've told you is you can't withdraw your money before the age of 55. But the other thing is that the Pension and Provident Fund kind of regulation board impose what they call Regulation 28. And it is almost, in inverted commas, to protect the investor and to almost mitigate volatility and risk through diversification is one of the methods they use. And we're only allowed up to 75% in equities. We're allowed, I think it is 15% in property. We're allowed up to 65% in fixed income and those kinds of rules. We're allowed 10% in offshore equities. And I've decided I fully want to take advantage of that. Setting up offshore platforms and trading into a fund is expensive, though. And so Nick has already done it. And Nick runs the Global Equity Fund. He worked in London. He can tell you his story. And so we're just going to piggyback off the fact that he's already taken up those costs.
I mean, first of all, it gives us some third-party insights. You know, there might still be people out there who don't trust Anthea. God knows why. but if they don't, then you could perhaps be a third-party voice of reason here. But I think it sounds to me like it's a very complicated world to get into unless you really know what you're doing. Is that true?
I think that is true. I think markets are tricky and competitive. So I don't have a problem with people investing in a small way on their own, just as a way to stay engaged with the market and interested. Mm-hmm. But in terms of managing a portfolio, I think it makes sense to outsource it to someone who does it full time and has the passion and the expertise to do it.
And it is quite onerous in terms of the sorts of rules and regulations and the detail to which they manage these things from a legislative point of view. Or a regulatory point of view.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, the frameworks are there to protect the end investor. That's certainly the case.
It does make sense for people to get into some kind of a managed portfolio in this respect, because in the long term, it benefits you not only because one day you're not going to necessarily have the job that you have now, but it'll also deliver the maximum return to you because we've got to take into account things like inflation and so on. So you may think 55 is many years away, but if you don't start planning for it now, and if you don't do that as soon as possible, you could end up eating dog food out of a can as an old person, right?
Or as a young person.
But sketch the scenario, because people don't plan for this stuff. And then they think, oh, well, my kids will look after me. Your kids are going to be poorer than you.
Indeed, yeah, it definitely is an issue. But, and so I will look from the South African point of view, I will look after the regulatory stuff. And all Nick has to do is buy and sell offshore shares. Like all he has
to
do is
talk
worry about
that. Let's talk about that
section
in particular, because that's something a lot of people have an appetite for. Mm. People are excited by what goes on in the New York Stock Exchange or what happens in London. And it's sometimes not as easy to get involved in those markets as people think it is. You know, you can't just call up a friend and say, buy, buy, buy. These are things that take a huge amount of skill to negotiate and figure out.
So if I also just take a step back and say the case for offshore, South Africa, if we think about SA GDP is, I think, 0.5% of global GDP. Our stock market is like 0.5% of the global stock market.
There's a very limited degree to which you can expose yourself to the ups and downs.
And it's very exposed to resources, and it's quite concentrated for sectors. And
yes.
And your Amazons and your Facebooks and your Googles, they don't sit here, they sit offshore.
So all the places that have shown exponential growth, that have made people billionaires, let alone millionaires, are not located here.
Yeah. So on the one hand, you've got that aspect. It's a big world, and it's a big pond that you want to fish in.
Right.
And then apart from that, I think the rand is going to depreciate versus the dollar over time. Mm. It's inevitable. So it's a way of protecting your wealth in real terms.
Yeah, because it doesn't matter to be a millionaire in rands if the dollar keeps on growing.
Well, and you can be a trillionaire in Zimbabwe dollars. So
correct.
doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, sure.
So I run a global equity portfolio, and what I'm looking for is looking to invest in the world's best companies, the world's highest quality growing companies.
And over the long term?
Over the very long term. And this is, I like your point. I think if investors have a flaw, it's that their horizons are too short. And they focus on the every sort of movement in the market. Oh no, it's down 5%. I think, If we were to step back and come back in 30 years, those would be tiny little blips that you couldn't even see. So it's the quote, time in the market, not timing the market. And it just makes, that's the way people have got to think.
It's Anthea's favorite line. She regurgitates it every time I bring up.
People in the industry can be, if you're cynical, you say that's self-serving, but I think it is the best behavior for individuals.
So Anthea, does this mean that if people want to get into #retire, they can look forward to a little bit of exposure into international markets?
Oh, absolutely. So in each of the portfolios,
10%, you said.
Yes. It's the maximum we're allowed. Yeah. So we're only allowed 10%. So the 10% in offshore shares, Nick will manage that for us. Nick will buy and sell. I don't know, Nick, what do you have in your portfolio? Facebook?
No, tell us about some of the sexy stocks you got. Come on, this will get people excited.
Okay, so there'll be names that your man on the street in South Africa will know. Facebook, Google, MasterCard, stuff like that. Philip Morris, which owns the Marlboro brand.
We like tobacco, don't worry. I don't smoke, but I'll take
neither
a piece
I.
of that. Sure.
And then we've got some interesting stuff that your average South African investor won't have heard of. So we've got medical device companies. Mm-hmm. Then we've got a Japanese e-commerce company that's a platform for clothing apparel, selling mm-hmm. apparel online. We've got a Russian retailer, which is growing 30% a year.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's the Russian retail market is very, very fragmented. It's not like South Africa. So they're still in the early days. So they've got a long runway of growth. So I like those kind of companies. Another one that's done really well for us is a company called NetEase. It's China's second largest gaming company.
Wow,
after Tencent.
This is very diverse. China, Russia.
Yeah.
Very nice. Japan.
And companies at 30% per annum growth. That's not bad.
and you're catching them at the beginning of their curve, right?
Exactly. Yeah. But they've got I don't like to – so they're interesting, but I'm still quite conservative and very – it's still very orthodox. These are companies that are in winning positions now, so I'm not taking crazy risks. Mm. And then I balance that out in the portfolio by owning relatively more kind of boring companies like the tobacco, Philip Morris, the medical
kind of
device companies. And
old school blue chips.
Unilever, yeah.
Right.
Which you provide the dividends and they provide the stability because, if you just held a portfolio of tech stocks, you wouldn't sleep at night because of the volatility.
Yeah, sure. No, you're right.
Or resource shares for that matter, South African resource shares.
Well, it sounds good. Sounds like we're in safe hands with that 10% of the #retire portfolio. So if people want to know more, they can go along to the Money Shot page on cliffcentral.com. There's all the information there. And if you really are confused and you want to know more, we'll be putting up daily updates here on the show and monthly updates on the site as well.
Sure. And if you want more than 10% of your portfolio, you can just invest directly with Nick. I don't mind, really.
Yeah, you have to have the options. So we're not going to try and hem you in here. It's just if you trust Anthea, then you go with Anthea. That's what I do. So far, it hasn't burnt me, so I'm happy.
Good. Thanks
right,
very
Nick,
much.
Thanks for coming to see us early this morning. And thank you, Anthea.
Thanks, guys.
Very good. So if you want to know more, you know where to go. And yeah, get involved. I mean, listen, the point is, I discovered a while ago that if I just started making better financial decisions earlier on, I wouldn't be worried about these day-to-day things. I would have made enough money by now. Ben, I'm an idiot.
Well,
Yeah, we all are.
Yeah, we're all idiots. So don't let it happen to you. If I'm useful to you at all, it's to give you that advice. All right, it's just about 7 o'clock. We are going to come to Justice Malala and the Burning Platform next, right here on cliffcentral.com. Don't go anywhere. Baby, I'm praying on you tonight. Hunt you down, eat your life, just like animals. Cliffcentral.com.